Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 408. Don't quit. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, February 16th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We have been doing a series, if you recall. What's the name of the series? The Good Fight. It's a good thing I write some things down when my mind goes blank. My mind is blessed. The Good Fight. Remember boxing gloves? I didn't bring the boxing gloves today, but we've been doing this series on the good fight. What does it look like to fight the good fight of faith, right? We don't want to be in fear. We want to be in faith, and we want to fight. You know, because in today's day and age, is there anyone that has no difficulty, no adversity, no problem, no trial coming against them? Anyone? No? If there is, I want you to pray for me. Praise the Lord, right? I mean, adversity is not lacking these days. We look around in our families, in our work situation, with our own situations, our own circumstances, and there are troubles and trials and difficulties, and you're depressing me, Pastor Sarah. So we'll get to the title of the message, Don't Quit. Today is Don't Quit, because this is supposed to be an upper message, not a downer message, so nobody get depressed, because, I mean, the reality is we're facing some things, right? And the enemy roams around like a roaring lion to see who he can devour. He can't devour us when we're fighting the good fight of faith, when we're standing strong in the Word of God, and we know who we are as his children, just powerfully girded by him, powerfully standing on his name and his blood and his word. I mean, the last few weeks, you know, Sister Elizabeth talked about the weapons that we have, right? And we do all to stand, and we keep standing, right? Ephesians 6, all the armor that we put on, we get dressed in that, and we stay in that, praise the Lord, and we can stay strong. Because the only Christian that is defeated is the one who quits, the one who gives up, who just says, I'm done, and I'm walking a different way. I'm going off the path. I'm going to be in the ditch for a while. And you know what? If you decide even, oh, I'm just going to slow down a little, I'm just going to stay right here and stay stagnant, actually, you're going to go backwards. Like, there's either going forward and advancing with Jesus, or you're going to go backwards, right? And that's not a good. We want to go forward and full throttle in his word, in his truth, in his power, dressed in his armor, with all that he's given us to fight and to win. Because if you notice the theme of the worship today, he's already won. He's the one who wears the victor's crown. I just love that song. I know it's an old song, but that is one of those ones that when I'm going through something, I put that on. He wears the victor's crown. You know, every stronghold shall be broken. It must be broken. I mean, that's a picture for you, Pastor Sarah, in her living room, just, or in her car, just belting it out. I mean, you will all have a few of those songs, right? A playlist that really gets you pumped up. That's one of my songs. Praise God. There's temptation to quit sometimes, isn't there? You know, if we're real, it's like, this is just too hard. I'm too tired. I'm tired of fighting. And I'm just going to coast. And like we said, there's no coasting because you end up going backwards. And we've got to encourage ourselves in the Lord, like with Darlene Check songs from the 80s. I mean, 90s, whenever that song was written, or whatever it is, the word of God will encourage you. Call a friend will encourage you. Call somebody to, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself in my message here in the intro, but with God, all things are possible. And we don't have to quit, because if we just keep our eyes focused on him, we can go forward and we can be victorious, because he's victorious and he lives inside of us. Amen. Amen. He lives inside of us. So we don't have to quit. We can let him be strong. We can stop the striving. We can stop the striving. I say that for myself. We don't have to do it on our own strength. We let him be the strong one. We let him be the victorious one. And we just position ourselves to yield to him, to hear him, and to show us, like we say, show us the money. Show me the victory. Show me how to walk, God, where to go, how to place my feet, so that I can walk through in your victorious plan, because that's who I am. I'm more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. So I'm preaching already. Haven't gotten to my notes, but I'm preaching. We can persevere through trials. We don't have to quit. We can do hard things. Sometimes I tell myself that out loud. You can do hard things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I say that when I'm taking hot stuff, heavy hot stuff out of the oven. I don't like ovens. I don't like fire. Yeah. It freaks me out. I just get a little like nervous Nelly, and it might look silly, and somebody's like, here, give me that. I'll do it. And I'm shaking sometimes, but I do. I do it in a rhythm. I can do, and this is me pulling something hot and heavy out of the oven. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I put it there, and I'm like, oh, I did it again. He did it again. You know what? Walking on ice these days, my son is teasing me like, you get so scared. And I'm like, I need to pull out that verse, because I'm like, I'm way behind everybody, like, walking on ice. I can do all things through Christ. I'm looking for someone or something to hold on to, because I just don't like that. But anyways, I'm preaching to myself today. Can you tell? What does fighting the good fight of faith look like? What does it look like? That's what we're going to talk about today in like how not to quit. What does it look like to really fight the good fight of faith? Let's start with what fighting the good fight of faith doesn't look like, okay? The opposite. Because sometimes we think we're fighting, but, you know, have you ever seen somebody or you ask somebody, how are you? And they are, you can see the oppression, right? And I'm battling. Really? You think they're battling? Actually, it looks like you're kind of being beat up right now. You know, we used to have there's a leader in YWAM that would tell us this story. He was a director of a YWAM base. He still is. No, he went home to be with the Lord. I was confusing him. Anyways, he would talk about youth that he would minister to. He was a spiritual father to, that would come into his office and say, yeah, I'm fighting. I'm struggling. He's like, what? You're getting beat up. You're not fighting. That's not fighting. You're like a doormat right now. You're toast. Like, you're not, doesn't look like you're fighting. Fighting is I'm fighting. I'm ready. I'm fighting back. I'm not taking what's coming at me. We got to be tough. We got to be courageous. We got to stand up, not be ragged, right? I mean, we have our moments. We have our struggles, but God be my strength. Right? But it doesn't look like we're defeated. Fighting the good fight of faith isn't when we are ragged. It's not when you are on a hamster wheel. Oh, I've done this one. Where it's like you get into striving mode and you just tire yourself out. Because I got to do this, and I got to learn the scripture, and I got to declare it 5 times, standing backwards, and then turn around, and then I got to do this, and then I'm going to win. And you tire yourself out, and you're like, I'm fighting, but I'm so exhausted. Are you letting God fight? You got to let the Spirit of God fight through you, be strong in you. Oh boy, help us, Lord, help us to be a church that knows how to position ourselves to allow the Spirit of God to just, that we can encourage ourselves, but it's really then it becomes the Holy Spirit encouraging us, firing us up, that we're not taking whatever mud is slung, is that being slung? Past tense of that word, that's tricky. Being thrown at, we'll stick with throw, being thrown at us, you know, we don't have to take it. We can fight, and we can fight back. So, you know, let's stay off the hamster wheel, because it's really tiring, that striving thing. And sometimes it, you know, there's a phrase that was said recently in one of the healing master classes is like sometimes, and I got conviction of this, like sometimes we put more faith in our faith and like the principles of faith and working those principles of faith than we do in the God of faith, you know, than the power of God, than the healer himself or the provider himself or, you know, whoever you are needing God to manifest himself to you, that we like, you know, we're word of faith people that cling to the word. But sometimes if you're like little type A like me, you know, you can just work that so much that you're believing in your faith. You're believing in those principles to work it and do it. And it's tiring. So if you're like that, we'll pray for each other and we can be set free from that and allow God to just work through us. So the other thing that fighting doesn't look like is giving up. That, you know, we're the only ones that can, well, we can take ourselves out. We can just, because of our circumstances, maybe we're interpreting some rejection or something, that we take ourselves out and then we limit God. We limit ourselves then. And we don't allow him to work because we just, you know, our emotions drag us down and we just say, well, I'm going to stop. I can't do this. I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. That's not fighting. That's giving up. That's throwing in the towel. So we're going to talk today the opposite about fighting. What does it look like to fight the good faith? And there are so many examples in the Bible, so many stories of what it looks like, that we have illustrations, we have models of people in the Bible who illustrate for us what it looks like to fight the good fight of faith. So we're going to dive in a bit here today. And these are some points. I have like 6 points about how not to quit, or otherwise known as what does it look like to fight the good fight of faith. So first we're going to start with Peter and John in Acts 3 and 4. And this is when, to give you some context, this is when they prayed for the crippled man, the lame man that was sitting at the gate, beautiful. And then Peter spoke to the crowd. He took that opportunity to powerfully preach the gospel, preach Jesus to people. And that got them thrown in prison, Peter and John. And then they were brought before the religious leaders. So Acts 4, verse 7 through 9, this is where we're going to pick it up. It says, they brought in the two disciples and demanded, the religious leaders are demanding this about Peter and John and saying, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Okay, so we're gonna pause right there for a second. And of course, this is a situation of persecution. People, you know, the religious leaders coming against them. And maybe that's not the situation that you're facing, persecution. Maybe it is. But these principles can be applied. So did you catch there the first principle, the first point? What was it about Peter? Verse 8. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is the first point of how not to quit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's the key. That's the key to all of it. That's the key to not striving, to not tiring yourself out, to not quitting. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. So how could I, you know, how could you quit now? You're full of him, right? People were coming against them, and they were brought before these religious leaders being questioned. And Peter said, you know, we're being questioned because we did a good thing for a man who needed help, basically. Do you want to know how he was healed? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to preach Jesus to you, religious folks, right? And so being filled with the Holy Spirit, we got to rely on the Holy Spirit, on his strength, not our own strength. We, in our cell group this week, Tuesday night, we talked about ask, seek, and knock. And God will respond. God will respond when we ask, when we seek, when we knock on the door, right? And let him, that's us positioning ourselves to not do it in our own strength, but to say, God, how do you want to be strong in me? I'm going to ask you. I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to seek to hear your voice. I'm going to knock on the door, and I'm going to wait for you to answer, and I'm going to wait for you to respond. That's being strong in the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you and not in yourself. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That was our last series, right? And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. We've got to yield to him. With whatever situation you are facing, whatever thing that makes you, you know, that tempts you, that you want to quit because it's just too hard, it's too overwhelming, it's too painful, whatever, position yourself for his strength. Position yourself to hear from God. He will walk you through. He's the victorious one, and he will show you. He will make your path straight so that he will teach you how to be victorious, so that the victory manifests itself in your circumstance. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's continue on in the story then. Acts 4, verse 10. Peter's saying, let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures, where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven which we must be saved. So Peter took what was happening to him, and he used that opportunity to preach. He allowed, being filled with the Holy Spirit, allowed the boldness of Jesus to come out of him. He spoke the truth in boldness. He knew his authority, didn't he? And he didn't mince any words or hold anything back. Said, the one that you guys crucified has done this. It's through that power, it's through that authority that this man who needed help got healed. So take that, devil. And all the religious demons are squirming, you know? But so, and he spoke the word there, didn't he? He quoted the scripture. He said there's, in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. That's scripture. And he quoted that. So point one, review point one of how not to quit and what the good fight of faith looks like is to rely on the Holy Spirit. This point now is stand on the word. And maybe this is used in a slightly different way here with this example, but he used the scripture, didn't he? He spoke out the word. And any time we speak the word, and it's not just speaking it, it's getting in your heart so you believe it. Because I can declare a word all day long and try to convince myself, you know, the sky is red, the sky is red, the sky is red. But it has no power if I don't believe it. I don't have authority if I don't believe that word, right? And we talk a lot here in this body of believers about how to get that alive in your heart, how to sow the word and let that produce a harvest in you so that word abides in you and you abide in the word and it grows on the inside of you and that word will carry you. That's the word. When you're going through a trial before you, well, the first thing that we talked about, yielding to the Holy Spirit, relying on the Spirit of God, asking, seeking, knocking, and then you wait for God to give you a word. That's your weapon. That's your sword. I need a sword. Something to swing around, right? That is your sword to cut off the head of the enemy when he's taunting you with that lie. You say, no, you go in Jesus' name because somebody give me a word that they fight with. What's a word that you greater... Thank you. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Take that. What? And that keeps it sharp when you use it and you stand on that and you believe it in your heart. Yes, amen. This is good. So get that word and stand on it, and you don't move from it no matter what it looks like. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching to myself today. The word is a weapon. Our authority comes from the word of God, right? We've got to pick it up and use it. And it is powerful when we do that. Praise the Lord. Okay, moving forward. What happens next with Peter and John in this situation? Acts 4, verse 13 now. 13 and 14. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, now he's standing, right? Wasn't he sitting before? He was crippled, right? I don't believe he could walk. Now he's standing there. That's proof in itself. Something happened, right? There was nothing the council could say. They were speechless. They were without words because Jesus' power moved and they couldn't figure that out. So, you know, the result here of Peter allowing the Holy Spirit to come through and out and the boldness of what he spoke, the result when you do that is just like it was here, that others will notice. Others will notice that boldness, and they will notice, you know, I know Pastor Sarah, she's an ordinary person, you know, but seems like she's been with Jesus, or, you know, you insert your own name. You're like, there's something different there. There's something going on. You know, people may not recognize that it's Jesus, but they know that it's something different, and they'll be drawn to you, drawn to the boldness, drawn to the truth. When you're speaking truth, when you're speaking authority, even watching your life, like our family members watch how we're living our lives and facing situations with faith. They're seeing, they're watching. Okay, carry on. Verse 15, Acts 4. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber because they didn't know what to say. So they're like, okay, get out of here. We don't know. And they're trying to figure out what to do, right? They conferred among themselves. What should we do with these men? They're scratching their head. They asked each other. We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never to speak again about Jesus or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him?" I love this. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. Wow. Okay, so the crowd is getting it more than the religious people, and they're excited because they see this guy who had been lame and crippled and not able to walk for 40 years. He just got healed, and they are praising God. And this is this is our third point here. Worship your way through. When you, despite how it looks, when you worship God, when you say, God, you're awesome, and you're the way maker, and you're sovereign, and you're above it all, and I exalt you, something happens in the spirit realm. Something happens, and the enemy's plans get confused, as it did here, because they were praising God in the crowd, excited about what they had witnessed, excited because the Holy Spirit is just pumping here in this crowd, and they couldn't figure out, they couldn't get organized and figure out a punishment or what to do. The enemy's plans are confused when we worship, when we push through. It's a way that we fight. Isn't there a song, this is how I fight my battles, this is how I fight my battles, right? And I think there's lots of songs about that. But we can worship, praise. They put the praisers out in front. Is that with, what's the story? Yeah, and Jehoshaphat. They put the praisers out in front and look at all what happened. God moved. Praise the Lord. Genuine, joyful worship to God is powerful, and the enemy will flee. He's the defeated one anyway, but he cannot stand that, and he leaves the scene. When you walk in joy despite a tough situation or despite adversity, that's authority. You're walking in the joy of the Lord. He is your strength, despite how it looks, despite how bleak or dark it looks. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to the world. And you'll be noticed then too, when you're walking in joy, when there's chaos all around, or people know the chaos that's going on in your circumstance. Praise God. Did you also notice that they, you know, when Peter responded and said, what verse was 19, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? When we are so much more concerned with what people think, then we get in the trap, fall into the trap of the fear of man rather than the fear of God. They weren't afraid. They weren't intimidated by this, by the religious leaders. God, make me like that. Make me like that, that I want to obey you so much more. And I don't care what people say, you know, persecution coming. That's how we need to be. And worshiping our way through, keeping our eyes on the author, perfecter of our faith. Okay, so then Peter and John are released, and they go back and they share with their people what happened. And then this is really awesome. It says they, in unity, they raise their voice to God. They're not fighting alone. This is a sneak peek at one of the further points coming up. And then they pray for more boldness. God, give us more boldness. Let us not be shut down. Let us not shut up. We want to keep going. I mean, these guys are just like on fire, and they're not going to let anything stop them. Let us be like that. Let us be the church that's like that, that nothing can shut us up. Nothing can stop us, no matter what others are saying, that we just keep going, and we're going to praise God our way through to the victory. And we're going to watch the enemy get all confused and scatter. Praise the Lord. And then we praise God some more. Praise God. All right. This reminds me of a time where I had to, it was one of the first times years ago that I learned this about standing on authority and really fighting a circumstance that was coming my way. I was trying to go, God had spoken to me. I was living in Argentina with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and serving. And there was an opportunity for a team to go serve on a mission trip, short term, month or so, to Brazil. And I had never been to Brazil. And God spoke to me to go. And so I, you know, marched myself downtown it ended up being lots of times to the Brazilian embassy in Buenos Aires. And I went there so many times that the security guard was like, oh, you're back again. And I'm like, yeah, I'm back. I'm back, because, you know, at that time, I don't know exactly how it is now, but at that time, the relationship between, governmentally speaking, between United States and Brazil was not so great. And they had like fees and tariffs and stuff about people coming in and all this stuff. And so it wasn't so easy for me to get a visa to go there. And so, but God had spoken, right? And so they denied me the first time. And I went back and I told my leader, and I said, well, I guess I'm not going to Brazil. And she was like, wait, what? I said, I guess I'm not going to Brazil. They told me no. They, you know, they said, like, not approved. And she said, and so that's you're just going to settle with that? And I said, well, yeah, what else am I supposed to do? She said, well, what did God speak to you? I said that I was going to Brazil. And she said, well, you march yourself up to your room and you get an agreement with what God spoke to you and you fight that thing out and you fight it in the spirit. You can't just settle. Like, it was like she was shaking me. I mean, she didn't touch me, but you know, it was like she was like, wake up, like you're not just gonna settle for that. God told you were going to Brazil, you're gonna go to Brazil, girl, so put your big girl panties on, you know, come on, like fight this thing. And so I'm like, okay, I guess I'll do that. And so I did, and I don't know how long it took, and so the next day, she's like, so? I said, well, I'm going back to the embassy. She's like, that a girl? You go back there. Go back there. The guard's like, oh, you're back. Oh, I'm back. And I'm going to do this again, and I'm going to get it. And it was a fight. I don't know, like I said, how many times I went back there. But I got it, and I went to Brazil. Hallelujah. Because I didn't settle with the help of discipleship, plug for discipleship. Listen to your leaders because they're teaching you, they're growing you, they want to help you. They've been, you know, walked maybe a few steps ahead of you and gone through some things, and they can share wisdom. And it was like God speaking to her, or to me through her, saying, don't settle, fight, come on, fight. I told you you're going to Brazil, you're going to the Brazil, and knock, keep knocking on the door until it opens. No matter how many times the security guard looks at you like, you again? Yep, me. They're going to give me my visa today. And guess what they did? And I think I showed him when I walked back out. I got it. I go to Brazil. He's like, all right, well, that's persistence. I'm like, yep. Won't be seeing you again, sir. Going to Brazil. Praise the Lord. I won't tell you what happened when I was trying to leave Brazil and they took me into, I had messed up the days and the number of days, and that's a whole nother story for another message, but held up the whole plane. My team's on the plane. I'm in somewhere. They're speaking Portuguese to me, you know. And I'm like, Spanish or English, you know, they take me back and they're like, you can't leave, and black mark on your stuff. And my team's waiting. I'm holding up the whole plane. I finally get on the plane and I'm like walking like this because everyone's like, you're the reason we're late, you know. And my team's in the back going, yeah, she made it. I'm like, you guys are going to leave without me? Like, leave me here? Anyways, whole nother story. So it was a fight to get there, a fight to leave. But praise God, he has the victory. Okay, we're going to keep moving on. I'm going to take a sip. Is that right? Are you guys doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. Worship your way through. Fight your way through. And fight with what God has spoken. That's why it's so important, you know, to get the word. Get a logos word. Even better if you get the rhema word. God, what are you speaking to me? Because that's what you fight with, like I did. God had spoke to me. I don't remember a specific scripture. Maybe that was the time that it was, the scripture was, I make a way where there seems to be no way. Like I open streams in the desert. I think that was maybe the word that I was fighting with at that time. But that will help you fight. It's your weapon. Get a word, listen to his heart, and fight with it. And you stand on it until you see the thing move. Praise the Lord. Okay. Where are we? Okay, another Bible, another model that we have from the Bible of the good fight is David. There's many instances with David. I mean, we could talk about David and Goliath and many other things, but I chose here about the situation with Saul, that David had multiple opportunities to kill Saul, who was being a bit difficult, we'll say, trying to kill David, right? And how did David handle that? How did he respond? How did he behave and act in face of that? It's quite amazing, I think. 1 Samuel 26, leaving the New Testament, going to the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 26, verses 7 through 11. It says, so David and Abishai went right into Saul's camp and found him asleep, with his spear stuck in the ground beside his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying asleep around him. God has surely handed your enemy over to you this time, Abishai whispered to David. Like, this is your chance. Get the guy. He's after you. He's done all these terrible things. He is crazy and out of his mind. He's tried to kill you so many times. This is your chance, David. Let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't need to strike twice. No, David said. Don't kill him, for who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one? Surely the Lord will strike Saul down someday, or he will die of old age or in battle. The Lord forbid that I should kill the one he has anointed. But take his spear and that jug of water beside his head, and then let's get out of here. Wow. David fled from that opportunity. I imagine the temptation of like, oh, it'd be so nice to take him out. But you know what? He believed stronger in what God had spoken to him. And he wanted to honor God and obey him and not touch God's anointed. He was the king. Saul was the king, right? And David was set on not going against what God had said. David submitted to God's way, to God's will. He didn't take matters into his own hands. And how many times when we're facing adversity or trial, we just, let me just do it this way. I'm in the driver's seat and we're just going to go over here. We're just going to do this great shortcut and I'm going to get my thing and my answer and it's just going to be all great. One word. Ishmael. That's an Ishmael. And I got to have control and I'm going to do it my way. Or, you know, I'm just going to take the person out that has offended me. I'm just going to leave the church. I'm just going to do it my way. Like I've shared before, Pastor Santos and I sometimes, you know, say to each other when we know that the other one is, you know, speaking out of flesh. Oh, really? Is that what the Holy Spirit said to you to do? Probably not, you know, probably not. We have to yield to God's way. We have to wait for God's way to do things. We've got to honor him. We've got to walk with fear of the Lord as David did. You know, God, this man has tried to take me out so many times and I have an opportunity to kill him. And yeah, you know, that'd be nice, but I'm going to honor you. You said not to touch God's anointed. Let us be so in reverence to God in that way, walking in fear of the Lord, that we're going to say, God, I'm going to wait for you to do it. I'm going to wait for your best because it'll be so much better than me trying to take it over and make a whole mess of it. His way is always the best way. Don't give up as you wait on God. You're waiting for God, on God for an answer to your situation right now. Don't just do a turn, you know, take the wheel. You could miss it. You could miss God's best, and you will if you your pastor says, you make your decisions and your decisions make you. I said that to my son this week and he went, huh? Yeah, we make decisions and then we limit ourselves. We just mess things up. Stay open for what God wants to do. God, you're going to have your way in this thing. I'm going to wait for what I know is your best. You know that we will wait for what we value. Who will stand in line for like hours to get tickets to a show or, I don't know, something that you value. You really want your chocolate Hostess cakes. And so you're going to wait for in the longest line for the self-checkouts or whatever. You wait for what you value. Where there's a value, you'll wait. And if you value honoring God and seeing his way come to pass, you'll wait. You'll stick it out with his strength. Let him become strong in you as you wait. Don't take offense. Don't take offense with people. Walk in integrity, God's way, God's will. So this is the point four, submit to God's way. We have to surrender sometimes our right to understand. Well, I thought you were going to do it this way, God. And I think we try to help God, right? I think you should do it this way. And, you know, I told you the story about I'm not coming back to Argentina and I'm not going to be a full-time missionary. And this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to serve in the United States. And I'm going to do this and it's going to be great. And God said, you're a woman of obedience and you're going to obey what I told you, what you know is in your heart, that I'm calling you back as a full-time missionary, right? let's let him do it. Let's let him have his way. Praise God. Okay, another lesson from David. So that's number four, submit to God, do it his way. Be strong in the Lord and take heart, wait on him, and you will renew your strength. I know that's two different scriptures mixed together. Okay, another lesson from David. This is about David's mighty men. Have you read about David's mighty men? It's in a couple different places. First Chronicles 11, we don't have to go there, but it describes that this was a group, and it lists their names, and it says that they are David's mighty warriors. They were a ragtag, misfit group of outcast people, but they came together under David's leadership, and something amazing happened. They were transformed by God, and they walked out in victory. And that is really cool, because maybe we can identify, like, we feel like ragtag sometimes, or, you know, I don't know what all great I have. But when we come together with the body of Christ, with the leader of the army, Jesus, leading us, we can be transformed and watch together, that we can fight together. We can link our shields of faith and experience victory together, like David with his mighty warriors, David's mighty men. So let's look at then, there's a more description of them in 1 Samuel 22. So 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2, it says, so David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and all his relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, men who were in trouble or in debt or who were just discontented, until David was the captain of about 400 men. So this group united. They came together. They had lots of troubles. They had problems. They were in debt. They were outcasted. They were disgruntled. They all came from different backgrounds, and for various reasons for their trouble and why they were, you know, outcast. But they formed a team, the dream team, that ended up being a force to be reckoned with, because David was a mighty leader and he had the power of God, right? Leading him as God worked through this group, and they were transformed into powerful men. That is just awesome. So this is our point number five. Don't go it alone. Look around. Okay, there's a little fewer of us today, but we are mighty when we are united together, when we can fight together. Like Sister Elizabeth said, call someone, call somebody from your cell group. Hey, I need prayer today. Text, just pray, please. I'm going through some stuff. I need some backup. I need some support. We might feel like, you know, if we look or allow, don't do this, but, you know, like compared to the world, we could feel like outcasts, like I'm just a Jesus freak and whatever, but let's bind together like David's mighty men and allow the power of God together. This is like the heart of behind Dad's Prayer Warriors, right? To come together for there to be unity among the men, whether they're earthly fathers or not, under Dad's Prayer, you know, he's the dad, and allow him to organize us and transform us in such a way that we walk through to victory, that we don't have to fight alone. We can fight together because we're on the winning team. And when you're feeling weak, your brother or sister is feeling strong, and they've got it to push through. Call Charge Marge. She'll go with you. That's Tanya. Just let her just do her thing, you know? Call the Dragon Slayers. They'll, you know, just, it's a, call Sister Green Thumb. This is plant seed. Leave Sister Sandpaper. Well, she can come. Sister Sandpaper has a good, you know, Sister Sandpaper, we need that sister. So don't count her out, because she might speak a hard word that might rub you a little, you know, like sandpaper. But we need that, because iron sharpens iron. So don't go it alone. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful for this body, because what I've been here, I don't know, 13 years. I don't know. I'm not going to stop and try to figure out the math, but a long time. And I have grown so much because of this body that I've chosen to stay in and allow to, like, just sharpen me, you know? It's just awesome. It's just awesome. So get connected. Get to a cell group if you're not already. Get a disciple maker. Come talk to me if you want, you know, one-on-one discipleship. Link Shields of Faith with those, you know, those here. And let's go. Let's fight and win. Go fight, win. Right? Okay, the last point. This is often, this is often a part of fighting that is overlooked. Because it seems like contradictory and it seems like it's not, it seems like the opposite of fighting, rest. There is a rest when we're going through a spiritual fight. There is a rest, and I've had to learn this. I've had to learn this, that it's not a striving. It's not me working into something. It's resting in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And that, my friends, that church is what makes the difference. Because when you've done the beginning steps about being filled with the Holy Spirit and seeking and asking and getting the word in your heart, when you really have it in your heart, then you can rest. If you don't have the word, if you're not rooted and grounded in the word of God, it is very hard to rest because you're like a chicken trying to make it happen because you don't have that peace. When you got his word and it's alive and abiding in your heart, then you abide in him. The shalom peace of God takes over and it is powerful and you can just rest. You know what? I don't have to work to get my, let's say, healing. Jesus already did it. It's the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And you know, I've been a little quiet about my testimony about healing, but many of you know that I've been pressing in for healing for a long time. And there's been so many times that I've wanted to give up because it's not coming and it's not happening and it's been frustrating and it's been hard. And I've decided to just dig my heels in. I am not giving up. I'm stopping the striving. Jesus already did it for me. And get the word in my heart. And God has said to me, focus. Focus. Because I'm like sometimes like all over here with juggling and focus. Like he's like, Holy Spirit's like, get the word and get it in your heart. And I'm like, I'm just doing it. It's not a strive. It looks like a striving the way I'm doing it. But, you know, like I'm going to just get that word in my heart and let it sit there and rest there. And guess what? The symptoms and the stuff that I've been dealing with chronically for a long time in the last few months is just like not, it might pop up here and there. And I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. I fight with that word, but it's, there's a difference. There's a difference when you can just rest that God's already done it. And I just have to get my little pea brain, blessed mind, I mean, around that fact and get my mind renewed to, I have it. I already have it. I have it inside of me. I don't have to fight and work. Well, there's a fighting. Okay, don't use that word. I don't have to work into it. I don't have to strive for it because Jehovah Rapha lives inside of me. And that is, makes all the difference. It's awesome. Peace is powerful. And that, again, will attract attention because there could be chaos and fear and all kinds of stuff around. And I'm walking in the peace of Jesus today. And people are like, huh, what? Yep, I'm walking in the peace of Jesus today. By his stripes, I am healed. You don't look healed, but I'm walking in the peace of Jesus today because it's already mine. And that is an awesome thing. If you are exhausted from the fight, like I have been at different times, shift your focus. When Albert Wechsler said that last, he said lots of amazing, deep things. And you know what? One of the things he said that I wrote down was like, Holy Spirit, just, it was a simple thing he said. He said, sometimes we're focusing on the wrong thing. And there, God has spoken that word to me before, like I just said, focus. There it was again. There was a certain situation, and when he said that, it was just like an arrow, like, I'm focusing on the negative, the problem. What's the problem? How do I fix the problem? Fix the problem by going to the Word of God. Shift your focus. What does God say about it? And stand there. Stand there with the Word of God. So shift your focus. Rest is taking a position of standing in faith with perseverance, knowing that He's got it. That He's heard you, that He's seen your faith, and He's going to work through. Yield to Him. Rest in Him. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you, all whose thoughts are focused on you." Focus your attention on Him. That is awesome. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to do a little conclusion, and then we have this powerful testimony that goes with this message. So, conclusion, don't let go of the promise that He's spoken to you. The promise keeper says that it belongs to you. When I was praying for this message, he gave me that to speak. Don't let go of the promise. He's the way maker, like we sang today. He's the promise keeper. He says it belongs to you. He's already done it. He's already won the victory. And I think Sister Elizabeth already said this. We just have to line up and agree with it. Let's not be the ones to limit God. Don't let go. You are more than a conqueror. You're not a victim to the things happening. You're more than a conqueror. And so don't let the devil win. Don't let the devil win. Don't give up. Press in. So the fighting the good fight of faith, or how not to quit, rely on the Holy Spirit that lives within you, not on your own strength. Stand on the Word. Worship your way through. Submit to God's way. Don't go it alone. Call for some backup. I need some SOS backup help. The body of Christ. And rest. Number 6, rest in the finished work of Jesus on the cross, because He's done it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.